Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking with Larry Elder. We're actually on site at his gallery. We're talking about the John Fulci exhibition they're having. We also talk about career changes, competitive cooking, and running a successful art gallery for 15 years.
You know, this, we're celebrating year 15 here at Elder Gallery this year.
Year 15?
Year 15.
Because you have been here a long time. I've not been here.
But... yeah, our galleries come and go in most cities.
Right.
Especially in Charlotte. So we don't really have that many what you would classify as fine art galleries.
Right.
But anyway, this is a second career for me.
What was your first?
I was in mostly training and education for corporate accounts. Mm-hmm. We would train IBM people.
Okay.
Their systems people, the programming people, and so forth. And so I did that for about 13 years, left, and just as the internet was coming into being, a group of us got together and we launched an internet.com startup company.
Cool.
And we took it public and then went to work for another one and was involved in the third .com and totally burned me out. It was like, I have no life anymore.
Right,
and
right.
So I quit.
Good for you.
And my wife said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to open an art gallery. She said, what the hell are you... what are you thinking? I said, no, I really want to do this. So I did it, and it was 2001, right after 9/11.
Yeah,
I had started in January, business plan, doing all the work, build out, getting the artist, everything you have to do to launch in November 1st. And so anyway, 9/11 hit, and we were in Portugal at the time, and all that was like, holy crap.
What were you doing in Portugal?
My wife and I are really into contest cooking.
Oh.
And she had won a cooking contest that took us to Portugal, to Sandeman, the port wine people.
Yeah.
We were there for a week learning about port wine. We went to their vineyards and they wined us and dined us, and we learned a lot about port wine.
Yeah.
And while we were there, I won't forget this, we were on a boat on the river, and the guy who was president of Sandeman Port Wine said, a plane just flew into a building in New York. And we think, oh no, that's really bad.
Yeah.
We don't know any details. We think, oh, it's probably just a little plane.
Right, right.
And we get back to one of their vineyards where they had, you know, the winery actually.
Yeah.
And they had a big screen TV, and we were there watching this, the second plane, and you know, with all the drama of what was going on, eventually it dawned on me, like, oh my, what's this going to do to this business I've just launched?
Right, right.
But anyway, I did it and was successful, and I've grown to being a really nice gal.
Yeah,
where we show some good stuff and we've built a good clientele. But I tell you all of that because over the 15 years, I've developed a clientele. And the clientele are starting to age, or they're downsizing, or some are not, they don't have room for anything else.
Right.
And so it dawned on me, like, you know, I'm not going to be doing this forever. However, you know, for the sake of the arts, I think people need to figure out how to engage the millennial population.
Yeah.
And so as people would come in that demographic, I would ask them, say, hey guys, let me ask you. And I'd tell them why I'm asking them, what can we do to engage people in your age category to be interested in the arts? And without fail, they all said, teach us about art. And I said, what do you mean teach us about art? They said, we're kind of interested, but we don't really know anything about it.
Right.
And so, to make this a long story short, we invited people. We had about 35 people to show up. We had a program, and we had a young guy, who had worked with me on a big project, and he started learning about art. He thought he knew a little bit about art.
Right.
But he didn't.
Right.
And he realized how little he knew when he was working with me here on this project. And so over the past 2 years, he and his wife have started collecting art and have bought some really cool pieces.
Cool.
And so he talked about it and he likened it. He said, you know, back when I was in college, I didn't know anything about beer, except I knew that I'm in college, I should drink beer.
Right, right.
And so he said, what do we drink? The cheapest thing that we could get.
Yeah, what we could afford.
Like Pabst Blue Ribbon, whatever.
Right.
And he said, we did it. And he said, after I had started drinking enough, I started realizing that that's not really that good. This is really the good stuff.
Right.
And he started getting into the craft beer movement.
Yeah.
And he likened art that way. He said, when we got married, we went to Europe. And we were there, and we would buy art on the street. We brought it back, framed it, and we were so proud of that.
Yeah.
He said, but now that I look at that, he said, I'm ashamed that I'm showing that in my house.
Right.
So we're replacing it with good stuff now.
Yeah.
Because he knows what the good stuff is.
Right.
And he learned somewhat through osmosis.
Right.
And so we thought, well, let's make that available. So he spoke to the group that day, that night, and they really responded to him.
Yeah.
And so we did one last month where we had a professor of art who came in, and the goal is they come in at 6, we have beer and wine, beer from Wooden Robot,
uh-huh.
and we had some food brought in from Queen City Catering.
Uh-huh.
30 minutes they can network, socialize. 6:30, the presenter starts, and we give them 15 to 20 minutes to talk about a topic that the group has identified as what they want to know about.
Yeah.
And so last month, they wanted to know, tell us the history of art.
Right.
So we had 20 minutes. So we asked Sally Jacobs.
Tell me the history of art.
She was phenomenal. She had put together a slide presentation. She went back to the caveman era, and she showed the advancement of art up until current day.
Yeah.
I mean, she was zipping through it, but she had all the different movements, and she was phenomenal.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
So after she finished, she stuck around. They could talk with her, or they could go back to drink some more beer and wine and networking. 7:30, they're out of here. And we hope that when they walk out the door, they've at least picked up on one bit of information that will stick with them.
Totally.
So we do that every last Wednesday of the month.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know how I got off on that tangent. But.
Well, no, because that's what this is kind of like. It's for people who don't know they like art, just kind of they can appreciate stuff around them, but they don't realize how much they do like it. And if they found out more about it, they might, I just think it would hold their interest. Right? I just think it would be, I think there's a lot of people out there like that.
Knowledge leads to understanding.
Exactly.
And knowledge and understanding leads to a desire.
Exactly.
On in this business and to start buying and surround yourself with beauty.
Yeah.
And with the good stuff, not just like the poster art or things like that.
Right.
Not to say there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But you know, as you age and you start, you buy a nice home.
Right.
You don't want post art anymore.
Right.
But most people realize that, but they don't know, and they'll go and they'll buy something that's not much better than post art.
Right, right.
And so this program that we've launched will at least expose them. They don't necessarily have to like it
and
want to own it, but they will recognize, like, that's well executed. That
they'll
took
know
talent.
What good art is.
And they'll know what good art is.
Right.
So that's the whole premise behind this.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's a really unique thing to do. I like that.
Well, we need it. And actually, I've told this to a lot of older people, people in their 40s and 50s and 60s, and they say, we want that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking, we get through this and see how this works out.
Yeah.
We could take the same format and apply it to a different age category.
Totally.
Or just invite everybody to come.
Yeah.
But we wanted it to keep it in the millennial demographic.
Right.
For more comfort.
Right.
There's a comfort level.
Right.
No intimidation, just come and learn.
Yeah. And that's another thing. I mean, I think there's like so many people who would benefit from like going to art galleries and stuff, but who would not be, would not go near one just because they don't know, they don't know what to expect.
They're afraid to go
They're afraid to go in. Yeah. Exactly. And so, I mean, like, this is kind of trying to expose them to like, hey, art galleries are really, really cool places. You can really learn a lot from them, and just kind of, you know, just kind of breaking down the barriers that.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that I really strive to do, I've walked into so many galleries everywhere. I don't care where I go.
Right.
Charlotte, I remember when I was going to other galleries before I had mine.
Right.
You know, just, I love art. I want to know about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would go in, and I'd go to New York, and I'd go in, or I'd go to Chicago. Wherever I would go, guess what? There was one thing in common. People behind the desk, the galleristas, as we call them, they were so damn condescending.
Yeah.
Or they paid you zero attention.
Right, right.
And you could walk in, and for whatever reason, they would look up from their computer, maybe they're on Facebook, and I was interrupting them, or whatever.
They'd be like annoyed.
Yeah, you know, it's like they're annoyed that I was there. I'm thinking,
right.
How are you supposed to grow a business
right.
or to sustain a business
right.
if you don't engage people when they walk in?
Right.
So the industry, the art industry, has done itself a bad disservice
yeah.
by not welcoming people and try to educate them
right.
and do the things that, you know, we have been trying to do for 15 years.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's, I agree. I think, you know, education and knowledge is the key to everything.
Absolutely.
I mean, and even if you don't like it, I mean, learn about it, and maybe, I mean, you might understand it better, or you might, it'll benefit you more that you know something about something you don't like.
Exactly.
And, I mean, or wouldn't, I mean, you don't necessarily have to put it up in your home, but I mean, just, you know, learn about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's kind of where we are, how I got here today. That's a little bit of my backstory.
Yeah.
But yeah, we represent about maybe 30 artists from the United States.
Uh-huh.
We have some local artists like, that's Stephanie Neely, who's a local artist.
Okay.
Who painted that beautiful painting over there.
That is beautiful.
And we have some other artists scattered throughout the gallery.
Yeah.
This work that just arrived is from Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Catherine Miles delivered those paintings today.
Those are great.
Yeah, that's one of hers there. But the show that we currently are featuring is John Fulton from, he lives in the Bronx.
Uh-huh.
And he paints scenes in and around Manhattan. So a lot of this, the paintings you'll see on display in this show are scenes on the streets in Manhattan. One of the things I love about this show is the contrast between the urban landscapes, if you will, like the fire escape series that he did.
Yeah.
I love that. Just that typical thing that most people wouldn't notice.
Right.
But he notices those.
Yeah.
And he watches the sun hit those. And you see the architectural details in the fire escapes coupled with the shadows, and they're powerful paintings.
Yeah, they're
really
just
beautiful. And then you'll see a painting like that one over there of the water tower up on top of the buildings in New York.
Oh, yeah.
So as you're walking around New York, if you'll look up, not necessarily on top of the skyscrapers, you can't see those anyway.
Right.
But like apartment buildings and office buildings, small ones. You'll look up and you'll see those water towers.
That's so funny.
You know, he's made a beautiful painting out of that.
Yeah.
And then you contrast that with the landscapes.
The trees.
In the Hudson River Valley of New York and
right.
upstate New York. So we call this show Town and Country.
Yeah.
So town being the fire escapes and the water towers and the street scenes of the people walking down the street in Manhattan. To the beautiful bucolic scenes around the Hudson River Valley.
Yeah.
So, makes for a nice show, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, yeah, he does great work. And those are paintings. They look like photographs.
They really do. But, you know, people are confused by those. And what I mean by that, when you look at his work, there's something that you look at and say, oh, it's a photograph, but then you say, no,
it's
a
yeah.
little fuzzy.
Right.
Or it's a little bit out of focus. But the reason for that is his style of painting.
Right.
He didn't want it to be photorealism.
Right.
He calls it soft touch painting.
I like that.
So it's a painting style that he has that kind of blurs just a little bit, but it softens the whole thing. And that's what makes some of these street scenes, those hard street scenes in New York, it makes them soft and palatable.
Yeah.
So when you look at them, you think, wow.
Yeah.
Those are beautiful.
Yeah. They're
the fire escapes or the manhole covers that he paints.
Right. They're just so cool. And I did a podcast with a sculptor named Carol Feuerman. She does photorealism. Not photo, she's sculpting. It's probably not called photorealism, but it's they look like real people.
Right.
And I asked the curator, I was like, do you ever get like freaked out because you like think people are, the sculptures are real people in the gallery? And they're like, oh, yeah, all the time. But it's just, but I imagine it's the same, it's different, but I mean, it's the same kind of thing. Like just the scarily real kind of portrayal of, mm-hmm. of things.
And that's one reason I chose John Fulci, is because there are a lot of people who paint the same. They paint a landscape, and you may have 10 people painting the landscape, and they all kind of look alike.
Right.
But with his, there's that little bit of something different that makes his work stand out from a lot of other people who might paint the same scene as he would do.
Yeah, makes it really pop.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's awesome. He's got some great stuff.
Yeah. Very talented guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you get, I guess same question we ask for any of your artists that you carry here, how do you get connected with them?
Well, in a number of ways. I travel a lot, and when we travel to San Francisco, which we usually do once a year at least, I'll go to the San Francisco University of Art, and they usually have a student show. And so I've found a good bit of young talent through there.
Right.
I receive, over a course of a year, I don't know, hundreds of submissions from artists around the nation. That's where John Fulci came from.
Uh-huh.
He submitted work online, and I looked at his work, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so I contacted him, and I said, hey, let's talk. And so we did, and he sent me work, and I invited him to participate in our invitational show where I had 5 artists that were selected last year. And it's almost like a market test to see how our market will respond to the work that I've chosen.
Yeah.
And in John's case, it responded very well.
Right.
Along with one of the other artists in that show, we sold almost all of their work from that show. So we had this show, which is John's first one-person show here in the Southeast. And the other person, Catherine Craig from Virginia, we had her one-person show, and she was, again, very popular, well-received, unique work. So that's sort of what I look for.
Right.
They find me, or I find them, or people refer me.
Right.
So you might want to look at this particular person.
Yeah.
And usually I follow up on things like that.
Yeah.
And so a dialogue
conversation
starts, and one thing leads to the other.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So where are you from? Did you grow up in Charlotte?
No, actually, I grew up in South Carolina.
Okay.
In a town called Spartanburg.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Which is from Charlotte's about 75 miles from here. So grew up in Spartanburg. I moved here in 87.
Ah.
So I'm almost a native. It seems
pretty much.
There aren't that many people in Charlotte.
Not too many people
forever.
That long.
Yeah. Yeah. So, love the city.
Yeah.
I love trying to promote the arts here.
Yeah.
Charlotte's a fairly sophisticated southern city. There are a lot of things that happen that I think are high quality.
Right.
But at the same time, and I don't think we admit this as a city, there are a lot of areas that we really need to improve on.
Right.
And one is the visual arts, the support
exactly.
of the visual arts.
Yeah.
And, you know, I say it quite often to the dismay of some people because, you know, if you're doing things and you feel like you're doing it well, you don't want to be criticized too much.
Right.
But I think when you get to the point where you're not open to new and better ways of doing things, that can lead
That's
to
dangerous.
Problems. That's dangerous territory.
Yeah.
So we try to promote the visual arts, and like the Millennial Program or the Juried Art Show that we founded. It's called Carolina's Got Art. It's open only to artists living and working in North and South Carolina. And it's grown to be probably the third largest juried art show in the nation. And it's right here in Charlotte.
That's really cool.
But most people don't even know about it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't think I ever heard of it.
Yeah. So that's the sad part.
Yeah.
We're doing some really cool things.
But
nobody knows
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
So that's why podcasts
yeah.
and, you know, the word of mouth sort of thing.
Right.
Social media.
Yeah.
It really helps promote things like that.
Right. I think artists need to connect with each other. I think the art community as a whole. I think they actually, like when I started doing this, I told my boyfriend, I was like, they're not going to want to talk to me. I don't know anything. But they all, everyone has been very receptive to it. It's a very welcoming. I kind of had the whole thing, the stereotype of the snooty gallery owner, you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
and found that to not be the case at all, and just found a wonderful community that's just been willing to share and just to engage and
mm-hmm.
And really, and I think that's I just think that I think what I've found is I think that the majority of the community, our community, wants to do that. I just think they need the outlets to do it.
Right, I agree. Yeah. And I think a lot of the galleries who are still around are those who realized
yeah.
how people were feeling. And I think they have, the ones who have survived
yeah.
or continuously survived, are those who maybe have changed their way of engaging people. And they feel a need to embrace people when they come in.
Right.
You're growing a business. You've
yeah.
got to do that, or
exactly.
you won't last.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally agree. So you only carry said American art in the gallery.
Right.
Is there a reason?
I've carried some European art before, but it's very complicated. I had one artist, and his work was very well received here, but you have someone who is either 7 hours ahead of you, so your time being able to communicate is the window is very narrow.
Yeah.
Getting work from Europe to the United States is a lot more complicated than getting a body of work, say, from Virginia
right.
or from New York
yeah.
or from here in Charlotte or from Asheville, wherever it is.
Right.
So I just believe in keeping things as simple as you can.
Yeah, yeah.
And for that reason, I've just decided to focus on mostly contemporary American art,
yeah.
even though we do have three estate collections here, two which were done in between 1905 and 1950. Our next show will feature two of those collections, the Ernest Walker collection. He painted watercolors, mostly around New York City and Connecticut, between 1930 and 1950. Leon Mikhelsky, from 1905 through the 1950s.
Wow.
So it's going to be a beautiful show.
Yeah. Wow. I can't even imagine handling artwork from that old.
Like the painting on the floor right there, and the ornate frame.
Yeah.
That was done probably in 1920, so it's close to 100 years old.
Gosh.
But it looks like it's brand new.
That one over there?
The one in the gold ornate frame on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So, but it's totally different. That style
right.
is a lot different from what you see currently
right.
being shown.
Right, yeah.
So we do paintings and drawings, like the charcoals hanging over there by Karl Plansky. We have his estate collection of about 1,000 pieces from his collection. But we also carry three-dimensional work by sculptors and ceramic artists from around the nation.
Yeah.
So try to have a wide mix of work.
This is awesome. I really appreciate you talking to me.
Happy to do it. Yeah,
this is really great.
So, you know, if you have questions about anything, let me know. I'd love to chat in more detail.
So, I think it's so cool that, like, you have something like an art piece like that next to like something that looks more like real, like you could tell that's
like photorealism. Yeah.
Well, I mean, not even photorealism, but you can tell that that's like that is photorealism. But I mean, basically, just next to you can tell that's a vase with a flower in it,
right?
And you don't really know what that is,
right?
But it's cool.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, I just think it's like, I don't know. It's different people have. I mean, I hear people say things like, "Oh, that's not it, because I could do that," but yet that's, I think that's better. I mean, not better, because I mean nothing's.
It's more intriguing and more interesting a lot of times.
Yeah,
like that painting you're referring to there. If you know the title of it, it'll probably mean more to you.
What's the title?
But that artist lives outside of Charlottesville, Virginia, mm-hmm. in a rural area, mm-hmm. and they have. Ranches and farms, mm-hmm. and there are cattle ranches there, and they have cows. In this case, it's a belted Swiss cow. And some people call them Oreo cows,
uh-huh.
where you have that white center of the cow and the black head and the black hindquarters. So that was just her abstracted version.
I had no idea what that was, but I would not have guessed a cow.
Yeah, but now that you look at it.
Now that I know, I can't see anything but.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go. But how could she see that cow that way?
Right.
And how could she apply that on canvas as she did?
Yeah.
To make it that interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
a lot of people could paint a cow.
Yeah.
But a cow's a cow. But that's not a cow as a cow.
Yeah.
That's an abstracted cow and a really weird.
That's a cow like format. I've never seen before.
That's right. And you'll probably remember that when you
read
it.
Exactly. Live.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you know the textures you created and all that as well. The way she built up the layers of the paint really adds, I think, to the intrigue of the world.
That's what I love about art is you can just. For one thing, though, you can never run out of material to talk about, and there's just so many like ways of looking at it, and just so many just stories behind it, and there's just so many. I don't know.
Well, that's the fun part of the job.
Yeah.
For me, it's almost like a lot of people like to shop. So they're trying to find the bargain.
Yeah.
And when they go and they shop and they find something that they think is really great. At a really good price, they feel like, wow, I've just won something big. It's like, you know, they just satisfy an internal need or something.
Yeah.
It's almost the same way for me when I find an artist that I think is a very talented person who knows how to express themselves through their art, while at the same time it has some really unique qualities about it. It's not just your typical walk into your neighbor's house to the same old Tuscan landscape or whatever. I want it to be something unique and something different. So that's the fun part of what I do here.
Yeah, I love it.
And when I do find something like that, that really keeps me going.
Like jazz,
It's like throwing fuel on a fire. It's like,
yeah.
This is great. I love what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the same time, when you discover someone like that, like in this artist's case, very, very talented person. I'd put her up in a gallery in the United States, and she'd probably do well. But she's never had an opportunity like we've given her here.
Right.
So now she's just had a show in New York.
Wow.
She was accepted as one of a number of artists. So a few of her pieces are on display. So she's just started to earn her way in the art world here in the U.S. And when I can have something that might help her or the other artists find their way and sustain a livelihood through their art and to help them express themselves, that's a win-win-win.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
So
it keeps
us
going.
You can kind of share in her success, or you can feel like that she's going.
We're contributing,
yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah.
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 Exactly. Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's very rewarding.
It is. It really is. It's like a writer. You know, if you can reach someone with your story, your take on a particular topic, and you can form how someone thinks about whatever it is you're telling them.
Right.
Wow, what a reward that's got to be.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Larry Elder of the Elder Gallery for telling us about the John Fulci exhibition. And thank you to you for listening. I know I learned a lot. And if you're in the Charlotte area, check out the gallery. If you're interested in having us promote your product or service, if you have a comment, if you have ideas for future podcasts, or would like to be on the show yourself, please contact me at arttalkwithbrooke@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Let's Talk Art with Brooke is a Hotspur Enterprises media production.